What is the church? Jesus said to Peter in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, upon this rock I will build my church. What did he mean by the word church? The Apostle Paul used the word church many times. In fact, the word church is found about 114 times in the New Testament. What does it mean to be a member of the church? On this program a lot, we talk about the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, or the church that meets at 290 Warfield Boulevard. What do we mean by the church? What is the church? That's the question that we want to answer this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, and we're glad that you've joined us. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you following us. When you tune in and want to study Bible matters and spiritual matters, that says a lot about you. Please tell your friends about us. Maybe there's something on the program that would help them as well. We're thankful that we have those who follow us each week. The word church, the concept, the idea, is used in many different ways today. What does it mean to you? There are many people who might be misinformed or even uninformed about what the church is, what the Lord's church is. What does it mean to you? More importantly, what does the Scripture say? What does church mean in the New Testament? That's what we want to consider this morning. We may have an idea of church that doesn't match up with the New Testament, and in our study this morning hopefully will help us to make a correction in that idea. First of all, I wanted to talk a little bit about what church does not mean. Church does not mean a building. A lot of times you'll see a sign, church for sale. Well, they mean the building where the church meets. The word church never means a building in the New Testament. It's always people. So church does not mean building. Some people believe that church means a particular religious denomination distinct from other religions, particularly a Christian denomination. In other words, church would be a Christian denomination. A synagogue would be for the Jews. A temple would be for the Buddhist. A mosque would be for the Muslims. And so if you're talking about a church, you're talking about a Christian denomination as opposed to other world religions. It's not used that way in the New Testament. Some people believe that church means an ecclesiastical government, like the clergy or the church leaders. You get a ruling or a law passed down from the church. And it means some sort of a hierarchy, some sort of a government, some sort of a ruling body as distinct from the laity or the people. So you have the clergy, the church, church law, and they're different from the people that come and sit in the pew and worship. It's not used that way. Some view the church as kind of like a social club. You join the Kiwanis, you join the Rotary, you join a business organization, you join a fraternity or sorority, and you join a church. It's just a social environment. It's something to do on the weekends when you don't have something else to do. But it's never used in that way in the New Testament. Some people look at church as a place to go to get married, and then at the end of your life to get buried. So there are a number of different concepts, erroneous concepts, that people have of church, and we want to look at what the New Testament teaches about that this morning. And we hope that our study will be profitable. Jesus said in Matthew 16 and verse 18, upon this rock I will build my church. What was Jesus promising to build? You know, church is very important in the New Testament, a body of people that are saved. First of all, this was not an afterthought. It was purposed and planned by God from all eternity. Ephesians 3 verse 10. And again in verse 21, this is not something that is just thrown together at the last minute, but it was purposed and planned by God before the world even began. Secondly, when God created all things and created mankind and some time had passed, in the Old Testament period, the church was prophesied and prepared by the Old Testament prophets. Isaiah prophesies of the coming of the church in Isaiah 2. Daniel prophesies of the coming church as a kingdom in Daniel chapter 2. Joel prophesies of the coming of the church in Joel chapter 2. And all of these prophecies, Isaiah 2, Daniel 2, Joel 2, they're all fulfilled in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost when Peter stood up with the other apostles and preached the first gospel sermon. Some 3,000 are baptized into Christ, Acts 2:41. And the Lord added to his church daily such as should be saved, Acts 2:47. So it was purposed and planned by God before all eternity. It was prophesied and prepared by the prophets in the Old Testament. It was promised and purchased by Jesus Christ. He promised to build his church in Matthew 16 and verse 18. And Paul says in Ephesians 5, 25 through 29, that Jesus shed his blood. We have been bought by the blood of Christ, and so it was purchased by the very blood of Christ on the cross. In Acts chapter 20, when Paul is preaching to the leaders, the elders of the church there in Ephesus, the church which he purchased with his own blood, Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. So it was promised and purchased by Jesus Christ, and then finally, it was presented and preached by the apostles on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. So the Lord's church is important, purposed and planned by God, prophesied and prepared by the Old Testament prophets, promised and purchased by Jesus Christ, and presented and preached by the New Testament apostles. It's an important body of people to be a part of today. It's a blessed relationship. It's an important relationship. It is a fulfilling relationship, a rewarding relationship. And we all need to be a part of the church that Jesus said he would build. So if a church is not a building and a particular religious denomination apart from other religious groups, if it's not an ecclesiastical government or ruling body, a profession of clergy, if it's not a social club, if it's not just a place to get married and then later buried, what is the New Testament church? That's what we want to talk about this morning. Just the meaning of the word, the English word church, as it is translated from the Greek word ekklesia, just the meaning of that is going to teach us a whole lot this morning, and that's what we want to focus on, the meaning of the Greek word for church, the one that is used some 114 times in the New Testament, and how that can benefit us this morning. If you'll turn with me in your New Testaments to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul writes a letter to the local church at Corinth. The church had, the body of people had been saved from their sins in Acts chapter 18 when Paul was there in Corinth preaching. And some years later, he writes a letter that we call 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, we read, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, even them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints with all that call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ in every place, their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot packed into this salutation or greeting that Paul begins with in this letter. Notice, first of all, that Paul is writing to the church of God, which is at Corinth, even them, he's talking about people, that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. The church are people, them that are sanctified. It's the church of God because it was purchased and planned by God and bought by the Son of God with His blood and revealed by the Holy Spirit of God in the writings of the Old and New Testament. And so the church of God. And then people, them, look at it, them that are sanctified, the word means set apart, holy. And that begins to look at what we want to focus on this morning about what is the church. People that are separate. They're called out. And so them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, they are in Christ. When we are in Christ, we are in His church. And we're sanctified, we're set apart from the world of sin, not physically or geographically. We don't move somewhere where we separate ourselves from people. We live in the same house that we were living in. We live in the same town that we're living in. But we spiritually are separated from that sinful way of life around us. We are in Christ Jesus. And then look at verse 2, called to be saints with all that call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ in every place. Called, and that's what we're going to focus on this morning. The church is a called out body of people. Called to be saints. Saint is similar to the word sanctified used earlier in the verse. Someone who is set apart. Sometimes the word saint is used in religious circles today to mean a special person who has reached a certain level of spirituality, and some churches, our Catholic friends, for example, and there are other churches that have a list of saints. You have to do a certain thing to achieve sainthood. But in the New Testament, every believer, every Christian is a saint. In some religions today, only certain ones are saints, and that should not be. In the New Testament, all Christians are saints. And so, called, and as we'll see in just a minute, by God through the gospel, to be saints set apart with all that call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the subject of another lesson. In fact, we had a lesson on the Let the Bible Speak program some time ago about what it means to call upon the name of the Lord. But in short, it just simply means to obey the Lord. And so, if you back it up, starting in verse 2, and work your way back, when someone calls upon the name of the Lord, they obey the gospel, they obey the Lord, they are called to be saints, they are in Christ Jesus, set apart from the world, they are the church. And so, we want to look at what it means to be the church. They are the called out ones. And we want to encourage you this morning to be a part of that called out body. And in your community, in Clarksville and in the surrounding area, there are Christians who are just like that New Testament church that we read about in 1 Corinthians 1 and other places. And you can come and you can call upon the name of the Lord. You can obey the gospel and you can be called to be a saint. You can be in Christ Jesus. You can be sanctified. You can be a member of the church of God. And so, how can we do that? Well, first of all, the English word church comes from an old English word, kirk, which in turn comes from a Greek word, Kuriakon or Kuriakos. So you see the Greek word, the K sound, Kuriakon, the old English word kirk, the newer translation or pronunciation of that church. So instead of the hard K, we have the soft K sound. It means the Lord's house, or belonging to the Lord. Christians are a part of the Lord's house. We belong to the Lord. But the English word church, even though it comes from the old English word kirk, the Greek word kuriakon, the English word church translates a Greek word that means something a little bit different. The English word church is used in our Bibles to translate the Greek word, the New Testament written in Koine Greek, the Greek word ekklesia. Ek means out of, and klesis means a calling. And so a calling out. And so the English word church, translated from the Greek word ekklesia, means a called out assembly or a called out body of people. In the New Testament, it is found in three different ways. First of all, it's used a very few times to mean a called out assembly of Israelites in the Old Testament. For example, in Acts chapter 7 and verse 38, some of the English translations have Stephen there preaching, and he's talking about, he says, the church in the wilderness. He's talking about the Israelites wandering through the wilderness after they left their Egyptian bondage. Acts 7:38. The church in the wilderness, the assembly of Israelites in the Old Testament. Then there's about three times in Acts chapter 19, Acts 19:32, Acts 19:39, and Acts 19:41, where it talks about an assembly of townspeople who are gathered together to discuss in the city of Ephesus what they're going to do with Paul and his preaching. He was preaching against idolatry, and there is a riot that is gathered together by a man named Demetrius, and the townspeople gather together, and they're upset that Paul is preaching against their idolatry. And this assembly in Acts 19:32, it's translated assembly, but it's the Greek word ekklesia. So verse 32, verse 39, and verse 41, here's an assembly, a called out assembly of townspeople to discuss the matters that are going on there in Acts chapter 19. But the majority of times, about 109 times in the New Testament, the majority of times it is used of an assembly of Christians who have been called by the gospel to come out of the world of sin and be in Christ, to be in his church. It means to call out. Are you willing to be called out of your sin, of your tradition, of your way of life, of your habits, of the way you have been living in the past? Not all of it is bad. Maybe you have a number of good habits. You're a good person. You pay your taxes. You show up to work on time. You drive the speed limit. You take care of your family. But you have sin in your life. Sin as it is defined by God's word, not by just what people think or feel. And you need to get that sin removed out of your life. And you need to be worshiping God on a regular basis. The New Testament church in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7 came together upon the first day of the week, Sunday, to partake of the Lord's Supper and engage in other acts of worship. And right now you're not doing that. You may not be spending your Sundays doing immoral kinds of things, but you're just not coming together to worship God. You can be called out of all of that, and you can become a New Testament Christian. So ekklesia means to be called out of the world. And in the New Testament is used in two different senses. First of all, church is found a few times to mean all Christians in all places of all time who have been called out of the world of sin. One example of this is the passage we read earlier, Matthew 16 and verse 18. Upon this rock I will build my church. This is all Christians in all places of all times, from the beginning of the day of Pentecost until today. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22, Jesus is the head of the body, which is the church. Also in Colossians 1 and verse 18, Jesus is the head. He is all authority. The head of the church is not a man or a woman on the earth. There are some religions that have a human head on earth. There is, the body of Christ does not have two heads. Think about a person walking around with two heads, how grotesque that would be. The body or the church of Christ does not have two heads on it, but one head. That's Jesus, Ephesians 1:22. Colossians 1:18. He is the head of all Christians in all places of all times. And so sometimes the word church is used in what we might call a universal sense. And then number two, sometimes the word church is used in a local sense to describe some Christians in a specific location at a specific time. We just got through reading 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verses 1 and 2, the church of God, which is at Corinth. There are many places in the New Testament, we couldn't even read all of them, that speak of this very kind of thing. The church at Antioch, Acts chapter 11, 22, Acts 13, verse 1. The church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2. There are churches of Christ in and around Corinth, Romans chapter 16, verse 16. Galatians 1 and verse 2, the churches of Galatia. This is up in, this would probably be more in the eastern part of modern day Turkey. The seven churches of Asia in Revelation chapter 1, beginning in verse 4. These are closer to modern day western Turkey. The church that is at Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 1. And so we could go on and on about some examples of that. So we're talking now about not different denominations in the New Testament, but the same Christians that Jesus is ahead of, the same Christians that Jesus said he would build, but they are in different locations and times and places. So, the called out anywhere and everywhere, or the called out in a local sense. So when we talk about the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, we're talking about a group of Christians that meet at 290 Warfield Boulevard. There is the Second Avenue Church of Christ in Warfield Boulevard, a group of Christians that meet over on 2nd Avenue. And so a local group of Christians. And so they are called out and they are worshiping in a local place. Another thing that we need to understand about church is that it is a collective noun. It's always a plurality. One person does not make up the church. Church is made up of people. And a great way to illustrate this would be to look at some places in the Word of God where the word church is mean, and clearly it means people. For example, in Acts chapter 8 and verse 1, there arose on that day a great persecution against the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. A persecution arose against the church, and they were all scattered. Church always means people. And the church, the building wasn't persecuted. The people were persecuted. And then in verse 3, Saul laid waste the church, entering into every house and dragging men and women, committed them to prison. It's the men and women that Saul laid waste or persecuted. So the church are the men and women that Paul put in prison. Church always means people. people in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 17 when Jesus said to take it to the church, talking about a person who is in sin and won't repent of that and confess that and change that, take it to the church. Well, not take it to the building. Take it to the people to discuss that matter. And so, number one, church means called out. It could be all Christians everywhere or in a local sense. Number two, it means people, not a building. And number three, it means saved people, not just what somebody says to do to be saved. There are so many man-made plans of salvation out there. But in the New Testament, when they followed the plan of salvation that is mentioned there. For example, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, those that were who had repented and were baptized, they were added to the church, Acts 2:47. Then we find, if you come over to Acts chapter 4 and verse 4, but many of them that heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. So they are believing the New Testament gospel, they're repenting, they're being baptized into Christ. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 14, believers were the more added to the Lord. They obeyed the New Testament gospel. Chapter 6 and verse 1, in these days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a murmuring against the Grecian Jews and so forth. We're talking about saved people that followed the New Testament plan of salvation. These saved people, whether in a local sense or all Christians everywhere, are the New Testament church. They've been called out from sin and from the world around them. Some of them were religious. You can find some cases of conversion where people are called out of even their religion. Paul was a practicing Pharisee Jew and was called out of that. In Acts chapter 8, a eunuch had been to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way back, he was called out of that to become a New Testament Christian. There were people who came out of Judaism. There were people in Acts chapter 17 who came out of paganism, Gentile, worship of idolatry. And so the calling out could be worldliness. The Corinthians in Acts chapter 18, Paul writes to them and said some of them were thieves and drunkards and adulterers and homosexuals, and they were called out of that. So it could be called out of gross immorality or fairly decent people, but they are in religions that they shouldn't be in. They're called out of that. Will you be called out this morning with the gospel? The gospel calls us, 2 Thessalonians 2:13 and 14. Will you let God do the calling? 2 Timothy 1:7 through 9, 1 Peter 5:10. Will you let God call you through the gospel to be a part of His New Testament church? I hope that this lesson this morning has helped us. Thank you for listening. If you want to study with us, please contact us, and we hope that you'll have a good day.